Good morning. It is a joy and privilege to be with you here this morning. I do know your pastor quite well during the time she spent at Claremont School of Theology. As you know, I teach at Claremont School of Theology, and I've been doing that now for a little bit more than 10 years. It's always a challenge when you go to a church and you're introduced as a preaching professor. People automatically assume that you probably should be able to preach. So the stakes become quite high. But that aside, it is a joy, it is a privilege to be with you this morning. And in true Wesleyan tradition, I trust that as we worship together, we may indeed feel our hearts strangely warmed. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, you are our strength, and you are our redeemer. It is in the name of Jesus the Christ that we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Well, I grew up in the Caribbean, in a small island called Montserrat. It's just a few miles away from Antigua, so generally if one wants to travel to Montserrat, you'll have to go maybe via Atlanta, Miami, into Antigua, and then shuttle down to Montserrat. And I was there this past summer. I have a nephew who's grown up all of his life in Boston, and so he was there with us, and I was able to show him around the island and show him certain things. But one of the things which he found remarkable that I could do was predict the weather. I would show him the mountains and say, okay, you can see the clouds and all of that, moving, moisture moving along the mountains. That means it's going to rain very shortly. And he would look at me in surprise and say, surely it did rain. And this is very common in Caribbean islands where there are mountains. You can see the rain actually going across the mountains, and you can judge how much time you have to rush out and pick up your laundry off the line and get them indoors and things like that. But there are other islands that are pretty flat. There is the island of Anguilla, for instance, that is pretty flat. And so when the rains come over the mountainous islands like Montserrat and Dominica and others, it just passes over Anguilla and they get no rainfall whatsoever. And so their practice there, actually mandated by law, is that they need to dig cisterns into the foundation whenever they build a house. It's just the law. You have to, you know, build a cistern into your property. And of course, we here in California, we know about water and how critical it is, because we've been going through this extended period of severe drought for close to 5 years. And so the text I have and I want us to focus on this morning from Jeremiah gives us this image. It says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have dug cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. I want to present this image before you, and I think the best way to do that is to think about, you know, a summer day when kids have somehow been up to no good and they have opened up a fire hydrant. A water hydrant? What is it called? Fire hydrant? Water hydrant? And what happens? The water just pours up into the sky. There is water, abundant water. That's how I think about God. Water that's gushing up, water that's living water, and yet the people are not being nourished by this life-giving water. They have walked away from it. I wonder what kind of cisterns they have built, and what comes to mind is perhaps building out of paper, building out of cardboard boxes, building a wooden structure where the planks do not fit together very well and so the water leaks out, or building out of sand where the cement doesn't hold the structure together and so the water seeps out. They have dug cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Sometimes, and the book of Jeremiah is part of our prophetic tradition, and sometimes when we read through the prophetic tradition, whether it's Jeremiah or Isaiah, God is portrayed as a plaintiff in a courtroom. Sometimes God is that injured spouse. God enters the courtroom as an aggrieved party. But here in this text from Jeremiah, there is no personification of God, but yet the case is made. The case is made before some jury, some group to adjudicate this case. My people have forsaken me. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Imagine that. Imagine people walking around longing for a drop of water to quench their thirst. And they are walking away from the source of living water. Have you ever had your heart broken? I know there are probably a few people thinking, well, let me see now, 1945. But we don't only have our hearts broken from the lovers, sometimes friends, parents and children, people you trusted, co-workers, church members, even pastors and members in church. We've all at some point experienced a broken heart, haven't we? You know the pain of a broken heart. And as I read the scripture in preparation for this day, that's what I heard. That's what I saw. And if you listen carefully, you can hear the cry. You can see yourself looking to the heavens and hearing the divine cry, the feeling of grief, a grief-stricken God. You can even see the tears. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went away from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? What of the rulers who did not lead the people aright? What about the priests? What about the priests who didn't even say, where is the Lord? What about those who were supposed to handle the law and instruct the people into the paths of righteousness? What about the prophets who were supposed to declare, thus says the Lord? What have I done that my people have forsaken me? Can you feel the grief? Can you hear the brokenheartedness? Can you see the tears? God, who is reaching out to people saying, here I am, the fountain of living water, and there you are in a thirsty land. I can quench your thirst, but no, you have forsaken me. When we build our own cisterns of our own designs, we walk away from the fountain of life, the giver of life. And I want to suggest to you that we even walk away from life itself. You see, we have this beautiful image when Paul is debating with the philosophers. He quotes from one of their poets and says that and interprets God this way. For, he says, for it is in God, that we live and move and have our being. Isn't that wonderful? We are in God. We are in the heart of God. We are in the bosom of God. It's like God is this great ocean in which we find ourselves. It's like fish in the ocean. What happens to the fish when they come out of the water? There's no life outside of the water. And that's the same for us, my friends. There is no life outside of God. So when we walk away from the fountain of living water, we are not only walking away from water and from that which is life-giving, we are walking away from the source of life, and we are walking away from life itself. Outside of God, there is no existence. It is God who renews our lives every day. So every day, every morning, God reaches out and touches the creation with the divine finger of mercy. And our eyes are open to greet the virgin light of a brand new day. And then we are reminded that we are the recipients of the greatest and most precious gift of all, the gift of life. Amen, somebody. I tell you, with the rising of the sun to herald the dawn of each new day, we are able to celebrate God's great gift of life, God's gift to creation, God's gift to humanity, God's gift to you and to me. Nothing compares to life. Think of all of the advances that we as human beings have been able to achieve in medicine, in science, in technology, in putting a man on the moon, in computers, in radio, in television, in surgery. You know, you can operate today on a child still in the womb. Amazing. Advances in medical science. And yet, in spite of all these great achievements, nothing, my friends, nothing compares to life itself, the gift of life and the giver of life. Hallelujah. Oh, we may not have everything we want. Surely we may not have everything we want. Our families may be falling apart. Our health may be failing. We may have pain in our hearts. We may have tears in our eyes and burdens to bear. Yet in spite of all of these painful realities, each one of us would have to acknowledge that it is a gift, it is a joy, it is a blessing, it is a privilege to be alive. Amen, somebody. Oh, yes, it is. It is a blessing to be alive. And it is a gift that none of us should take lightly. It is the gift that has come from the fount of life. Life must be cherished because life is a blessing. You know, life has its grave mistakes, but it also has its great mercies. Life has its complex problems, but it also has its infinite possibilities. Life has its stubborn obstacles, but it also has its awesome opportunities. How can anything else, and how can we do anything else? How can we take any other pathway but to travel towards the source and the fountain of life, the giver of life, the giver of eternal gladness. I'm so glad to see you here this morning in this wonderful sanctuary with the beautiful music, the organ and the piano and the singing, and just to know that we are in this space in an attitude of gratitude. That we've come this morning, haven't we? We have come to this place to say thank you to the Lord and the giver of life. We have come to say, it is you who have made us and not we ourselves. We have come to say, we have come to enter into your gates with thanksgiving. We have come to say, without you, we are nothing. We have come to say, thank you for another day of living, another day to love, another day to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters, another day to be in communion with our family, another day to offer praise and thanksgiving and adoration to your most holy name. That's why we are here. Because life is precious, and it is a gift from God that we do not take for granted. But now we also recognize that the word says that we have turned our backs, we've walked away, we've forsaken, we have constructed for ourselves cracked cisterns that cannot hold water. And you say to me, preacher, how have we forsaken the living water? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because many of us have in fact designed our own cracked systems, ambitions that drive us, our constant and incessant clamoring for attention. You remember the gospel reading? It says when you come to an event, don't just march up and take the seat of honor. Stay humble, stay at the back. And maybe your host will come and say, friend, come up higher. Rather than marching up to the front, and then someone of greater status comes and you have to be removed to take a lower seat. Isn't that a little embarrassing? It's a little embarrassing. But that's part of the systems we build. We clamor for attention. We seek seats of honor. We want to be liked and praised and pampered. So we seek worship and adulation and admiration and from others. And so what happens is that we become the center of attention. In a way, we become the object of worship. Take that another step further. We have taken the place that truly belongs to God. We have made ourselves the one that should be worshipped. And so our cracked cisterns destroy us. Our cracked cisterns, of course, include those addictions that are able to destroy us, whether it's the food that we can't resist, or the alcohol and drugs that control us, or the squandering of our time and our resources. Our cracked cisterns may be those things that we do so that we don't have to invest a lot of time with our own families and our own friends. We hide behind work projects and social media and video games and even shopping and cleaning and decorating and anything that keeps us in frenetic activity. It's just so busy that we have no time to actually build relationships with other people. We have walked away from the water. The water symbolized here in the font for our baptism. Too often we come, and although we gather Sunday after Sunday, we still forget that we have made promises to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and reject the evil powers of this world. We forget the vows of our baptism to accept the freedom and power that God gives to resist evil, injustice, and oppression. We forget those vows that we make at the time of our baptism or our confirmation, that we promise to confess Jesus, to trust in God's grace, to serve in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, all nations, and all races. Very often our cracked cisterns are symbolized by our unwillingness and unfaithfulness to keep our promises to be faithful in prayer, to be faithful with our presence, to be faithful with our gifts, to be faithful with our service, and to be faithful with our witness. You say, well, Pastor, what can we do? How can we return to the fountain of life and the fountain of living water? But I think we have a clue in the reading from the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews invites us to do a few things. Hebrews chapter 13. Let mutual love continue. Can we do that? Because when we do that, my friends, we are repairing those cracked cisterns. And we are opening ourselves once again to receive from the fount of living water. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Can we do that? For by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison, verse 3. Remember those in prison as though you were in prison with them. Can we do that? Remember those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Now, as you go through this season, it is a political season in this country. We're going to have forces that are going to pull us this way and that way. We're going to be asked for our allegiance to be liberal or conservative, democratic or republican. But here we are being invited to be faithful to the God who is our creator and the God who has called us to be God's people. Where do we find our identity? Who will we be in the world? Who will we be in the world? And I want to suggest to you that that will not happen through the labels that come to us from our politics, but it will happen from the labels that we accept right here in this place, that we are children of God, invited to a life of mutual love, of hospitality to strangers, of grace to those in prison or being tortured, and a life that is free from greed for money. It's a call to compassion. That's what it is. It's a call to compassion. And I believe that we draw near to God and to that fountain, which we've walked away from the fountain, but we can return when we live compassionate lives. I believe that our cisterns are repaired and replenished when we open our lives to the divine life and the divine work can begin again in our lives. And so I invite you this morning to begin that work of repairing those cisterns and returning to the fountain. Return through acts of love and grace and compassion. And God is calling us to that wholesome living that will enable us to go into a broken world and to be God's eyes and God's hands and God's feet, to go to those places where there is need and to use our hands to bring that work of healing where there is pain. God is calling us into this broken world to look beyond the faults of your brother and see the full worth of your brother. Amen? Amen. To look beyond the problems of your sister and see the pain of your sister. Amen? To look beyond the wrongs of your neighbor and see the wounds or the woundedness of your neighbor. Amen? And so, let us make that our commitment today, that we're going to return to God, the fountain of our lives. Let us make that our commitment, that as our eyes become open to see each other, we may see the one whose heart is broken for us, the one who wants to give us life, the one who says, I stand at the door and knock. The one who is the giver of life, who sees your hopes and your hurt, who sees your anxieties and aspirations, the fountain of living water, the one who looks beyond your faults and sees your needs. And if you get nothing else out of this worship service today, may you leave here this morning with the blessed assurance bubbling over in your heart that there is life-giving water available to you. And oh yes, your cisterns may be cracked right now, but there is abundant water available. Life-giving water. Water that can spring up within you, springing up unto eternal life. May that be your prayer. May that be your experience. May that be the blessing and the blessed assurance with which you leave this place this day. Amen.